As hurricanes and fires wreck and ravage America, the question must be asked, is God answering our prayers? Discover the vital key to answered prayer next on The Key of David with Gerald Flurry.
Greetings, everyone. We have just recently seen a massive hurricane strike Houston, Texas, and the southern Texas coast. And it was one of the most destructive hurricanes ever to strike America. And then immediately after that, the Texas governor declared a day of prayer in Texas. I think it was just a day after the hurricane hit the coast. And then about 2 days after the hurricane began, the president of the United States declared a national day of prayer. And surely you'd have to think that there were thousands, perhaps even millions of people that responded to that. And then a few days later, we see that there was really the largest hurricane ever to strike from the Atlantic, hit the Caribbean or the Caribbean and Florida and other states. And we have to, I think, if we're honest, ask ourselves, well, is God answering our prayers? If you look at our own history, U.S. history, you'll see that God did answer our prayers many times. Now, that's a historical fact. And you can prove that, I think, from history without any real difficulty. But does God answer our prayers today? If you look in your Bible, you'll see absolute promises from God that He will answer our prayers, that He will answer them. And our own history, of course, as I said, proves that. But prayers alone are not enough. If you look in your Bible and examine it closely, you'll see that prayers are not enough. And the prophet Amos showed us how to get results and how to get answers to our prayers in a very technical, detailed way. And this is all end-time prophecy, and I'll discuss that a little more in a moment. But let's look at Amos 4, verses 5 and 7. I just wanted to mention the last part of verse 5. It talks about, O you children of Israel. It's talking to the children of Israel. Now, who are they? If you don't know who Israel is, then you won't know to whom this is addressed. Notice verse 7, and also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. Now, while those hurricanes Harvey and Irma were hitting the U.S., there were raging fires on the West Coast because of drought and the dry season. And as the Bible says, it was withered on the West Coast as it was flooding all over the South, well, in Texas and Florida especially. So God does prophesy about those events, about those disasters that do happen from time to time. But all of this happened at the same time, just like Amos said it would. It'll be raining too much in one city and not at all in another. That is exactly what Amos says will happen in this end time. And he tells us then how to make sure it doesn't happen and how you can prevent it. And it's right there in your own Bible. Amos is an end time book, and our booklet on Amos will prove that to you if you don't already have it. But when we see such calamities, God certainly expects us to seek Him. When we see something like this coming, He expects us to respond to Him in that way. And to pray, yes, but it takes a lot more than prayer. That's what most people simply do not understand. Notice verses 8 through 11. Verse 8, I'll just read the last part of each one of these verses just to illustrate something to you. Amos continues in this way. He says, "After all of this, yet have you not returned unto me, says the Eternal." And then verse 9, that was verse 8. Verse 9 says, talks about all the problems that you'll have with the fig trees and the olive trees and the farming and so on. And he says, yet, you see these problems, yet have you not returned unto me, says the Eternal. You still won't return to me after all of these crises that are really super crises. Crises of all crises in a sense. Verse 10, the last part of it, God talks about the problems we have and disasters that are coming, and He says, yet, have you not returned unto me, says the Eternal. Still, you haven't returned to me. He keeps repeating this over and over. Verse 11, the last part, it said, oh, He talks about all of our sins and says, yet, have you not returned unto me, says the Eternal. Here is four times in four verses God repeats that phrase, yet have you not returned unto me? In spite of all of these calamities, you still haven't returned to me. Not just prayed, but returned. Did you know that we have a history with God, America and Britain, the Jewish nation? They are the ones specifically prophesied about when it's talking about Israel in this end time. So when God is talking to Israel or addressing Israel, He's not talking to Russia or China or Japan or the Arabs in the Middle East and around the world or the African people, mostly in Africa. And our book on the United States and Britain and prophecy explains all that to you. And we have to understand it if we're going to know who Israel is, and if we don't know who Israel is, we can't understand these prophecies. They simply will not be understood. Now, that's why you need our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. You do have to understand who Israel is to know the nations that God is addressing right now. That is critical. Verse 12, notice what it says, "Therefore thus will I do unto you, O Israel." He's warning Israel. "And because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Verse 13, "For lo, he that forms the mountains and creates the wind." Well, this is the God that creates the mountains. He forms the mountains and creates the wind that propels the hurricanes. He creates that wind. And we need to know that to have faith in the great God. He goes on to say, He creates the wind and declares unto man what is his thought. He even declares what your thoughts are. He knows what you're thinking. This is not another human being. This is God Himself we're talking about. That makes the morning darkness and treads upon the high places of the earth. The Eternal, the God of hosts, is His name. So, here is the God that creates the wind, that motivates all of these hurricanes, that really plays a central role. And God just keeps repeating these phrases over and over and over, so He hopes we'll get it. He doesn't want to see us suffer in these calamities. He doesn't want to see that at all. This is the Creator God. And He says now, He's talking to a people that are called Israel in the Bible. And they need to heed this message. In our booklet on Amos, there is a chapter entitled The End Is Come, and it talks about the bad news and the good news that really lasts forever. And this is addressing really, if you prove this to yourself, it's addressing the American people, the British nations, or British peoples. That includes the UK and Canada and Australia and New Zealand and South Africa. And all of that, again, is proved in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. Now let me read to you Amos 8 and verses 1 and 2. I just want to bring out one point here about the end time. Amos 8 verses 1 and 2. Thus has the eternal God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the eternal unto me, the end has come upon my people Israel, the end time. And he says, I'm not going to pass this way anymore. This is our last chance to receive a warning from God. That's what the book of Amos says, and that's what our booklet illustrates to you. And then now let's go back and just get a little background of these other verses I just read to you. This time we'll read Amos 3, verses 1 and 2, and notice this interesting point. Hear this word that the Eternal has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. God knows us and He's holding us accountable. This applies to spiritual Israel or the church, God's own church, and it applies to the nations of Israel. And He says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Well, we'd better know who Israel is and who these nations are, because God says He is holding us accountable for that history that we've had with God that other nations have not had. God wants us to focus on Israel in this warning. Verse 6, it says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Eternal has not done it? Well, there should be fear when we hear what God says in these prophecies. Surely the Eternal God will do nothing, but He reveals His secret unto His servants the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Eternal God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? God is likened to a lion. If you were out in the, some area in Africa where there are a lot of lions, and a wild lion came roaring at you, and you would be afraid. Well, what God is talking about here is a much greater fear that we ought to have. This is much greater than a lion coming at you, and that's where God promises to help you if you hear what he roars and what he prophesies in His trumpet message. Are we willing to heed what God warns us to do? Are we willing to return to Him? God was the king of ancient Israel for a good portion of the time. And God says, I want you to get back to that. You have a history with God, and you need to understand that, or you won't understand these prophecies. God says, well, who can but prophesy? Once God gives this message, the lion has roared. The Lord God has spoken, it says. Do we believe God? If we will heed what He says and what He has spoken, well, that's the way to prevent calamities. But we have to pray, but we also have to repent and heed God's message. Or God says He will not hear. And that's something that ought to really resonate with all of us at this time. Verses 11 and 12, it talks about, let me just quickly read that here, a little more background here. And it shows you the problem that God's own church is having. Notice in verse 11 and 12 of chapter 2 of Amos, it says this, "And I raised up your sons for prophets and of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O you children of Israel?" So they had people to warn them. God raised them up. As says the Eternal, "But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not." Well, most of God's people, 95% of them today, have turned away from God and they won't prophesy. But God says, who can but prophesy if you understand these prophecies that He's talking about and the devastation that will come if we don't heed what He says? We must heed what God tells us if we want to avoid many, many crises. Here is God's own people saying, prophesy not. It isn't something that people naturally want to do. You don't want to have any bad news. But even this bad news is wrapped up in the best news you could ever possibly hear. It's always good news with God, even the trials and tests. And when you go through all of these terrible trials that is prophesied for Israel, He says, then they get to know God. Of all things, it takes that for them to get to know God, to get to know Him. And this is also, of course, showing you that there is a split in God's church. It is very interesting when you study into this book of Amos and see some of these nightmarish prophecies and dark visions, if you want to call them that. But Amos did have some pretty hefty bad news for us to hear. But let's turn now to Colossians 2 and verse 19. It says there that God's own people have lost their head. Now that is the worst possible mistake you could make. And if you look at the book of Amos, 25 times in this little book of Amos, he used the word Adonai when he's referring to God. Now, that's more than all of the other minor prophets combined. There are 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. And why would Amos use this Adonai so much? Adonai means headship, the head. You can read that in the Companion Bible. But here's the beauty of this. If understanding the word Adonai, it means in talking about God, it means the God that blesses. Amos was dealing with all of these prophecies, making all of these negative prophecies because of the people's own transgressions. And he said, he kept reminding himself over and over and over that this is the Adonai, the leadership, the head, and he blesses. He blesses even with the trials and tests that he gives us, even with the calamities he gives us. They are blessings in the end. And that's what Amos, I think, had to do to keep himself positive. Because if you just see quite a bit of bad news, you can become negative yourself. But if you understand it with God's perspective, it is inspiring and uplifting in spite of the trials, in spite of the difficulties. You see, all these trials and tests and calamities come in the context of blessings, in spite of a man, in spite of his rebellion. They still bring blessings to man, and that is phenomenal. You turn these blessings, these trials into blessings. We are serving the God who blesses people. God is love. He is love, and He blesses people all the time. Now we have to think like God. It says in Philippians 2 and verse 5, that let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So we have to think like Christ. We have to think like the Father when we talk about these trials. God is a God of love, and He always, even in those trials, they are jam-packed with blessings because it makes us return to God and come to our senses and return to the God that we have a history with, the God that performed all those miracles in the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. Now, we need to know about that history and understand that and realize that God is holding us accountable for that. Notice, here's some very good news. In chapter 5, and we'll continue from chapter 4 in Amos. I want to finish this prophecy he was talking about. But he says in verse 1 of chapter 5, "Hear you this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel." Then verse 4, still addressing the house of Israel. And notice what God is working to achieve here. Verse 4, "For thus says the Eternal God unto the house of Israel, seek you me, and you shall live." You shall live. Well, now, God, there's another phrase. He wants to keep repeating it until we get it. Notice verse 6, "Seek you the Eternal, and you shall live." The first words of verse 6. And then verse 8, "Seek Him." We have to seek God, not just pray. We could pray and not even get close to God if we're not obeying God. That should be clear to anybody, I think. Verse 8, "Seek Him that makes the seven stars of Orion and turns the shadow of death into the morning," or the morning and the sun rising and so on, "and makes the day dark with night, that calls for the waters of the sea." Well, how about that? "The waters of the sea, and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is His name." That is exactly what He did in these hurricanes. He calls the waters out of the sea and pours them upon the land. But what He's telling you here is He wants to do that to water your crops and give you prosperity and all kinds of blessings. But if you don't heed what God says, well, then it comes in the form of hurricanes or something like that. God has to get our attention if He's going to give us eternal life and rule over the entire universe. He's going to have to get our attention. That's what His goal is. And there are 100 prophecies that tell you about that, even more than that. Verse 12, notice what God says. "For I know your manifold transgressions." Well, that's a problem. "And your mighty sins." Well, you see, that's what God is concerned about. He does want us to repent of our sins and follow Him and reap all those blessings that God just pours out upon you if you obey Him. Verse 14, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live." There it is again. He says that like really four times here, just like the other expression about not seeking Him even after all these calamities. But here He says, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live." God wants us to live, not only in the future, but right now. He wants us to really live the abundant life. Read John 10 in the New Testament. He talks about that. He wants you to live an abundant life, peace and prosperity and all the good things. That's what God wants for all of us. He doesn't want us to die in calamities. He doesn't want us to die in terrible trials and difficulties. God doesn't want that. God wants you. He wants you to live. He wants everybody to really live. But He does have to bring these trials upon us because, well, we turn to our transgressions. And when we're involved in those transgressions and pray, God will not listen or answer that prayer. He simply will not do it. Well, you can read Amos 8 where it goes on to talk about there's going to be a famine in the land. God is only going to get this message out there so long, and then he's going to take the message away and punish his people. But we can eliminate that. We can avoid that if we will just heed what God says and return unto the God that we were obedient to, at least at times in our history. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
As hurricanes and fires wreck and ravage America, the question must be asked, is God answering our prayers? God is cursing America with natural disasters in this end time. These curses are far more terrifying than a lion on the attack. Request Gerald Flurry's free booklet, The Lion Has Roared, to learn the fate of the greatest nation in the history of the world. The prophet Amos wrote the strongest warning message in the entire Bible. He foretold the catastrophic events rocking America today. Read The Lion Has Roared to understand why this nation is being punished. Discover the inspiring conclusion to today's horrifying headlines. Catastrophic nature-related phenomena are forcing their way into American life with troubling frequency. Request our free booklet, Why Natural Disasters, to learn whether earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, superstorms, floods, droughts, and wildfires are actually increasing. If so, is it merely coincidence, or is there a cause? Both religion and science struggle to answer, but there is an answer, and it gives profound and even inspiring meaning to these seemingly random disasters. Read Why Natural Disasters to understand how. America today is heavily burdened by sin. Sin is the cause of all human suffering in the U.S. and around the world. Request Gerald Flurry's free booklet, Repentance Toward God, to uncover the difference between godly repentance and worldly sorrow. Learn how true repentance will help solve all world problems. Read Repentance Toward God. It could change your life dramatically. You will also receive a copy of our free reprint article, Will God Respond to America's National Day of Prayer? All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Lion Has Roared, Why Natural Disasters, Repentance Toward God, and Will God Respond to America's National Day of Prayer? Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.